All right, here we go. All praises, glory, and honor to the Heavenly Father Yahweh, in the name of His only begotten Son, Yahweh Shai, who the world ignorantly calls Jesus Christ. Peace and blessings to you, brothers and sisters, out there may be considered minorities, or even if you're not considered minorities, if this resonate with your spirit, they're more than likely through the misinformation, through centuries and even thousands of years of just being scattered and the information being withheld. We're going to go into the Bible as well as some of the other historical documents to show that God's chosen people or over here in the Americas, but they're also in other parts of the world. So I say peace and blessings to you, brothers and sisters out there. So this is my first time running a meeting on Meetup, and it is recording, and it will be used, Lord's will, for edification on other platforms. And we'll try to make this as informational but as smooth as possible. Of course, if there's glitches, if there's things that are unforeseen, you know how that goes. It's the devil, it's the adversary that wanna try to stop the word. And let me first go into the word. And again, bear with me because this platform, it is new. Okay, so this is in the book of Mark, and what I'll try to do is I'll try to share the screen. Okay, here we go. All right. So this is in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 15, and it reads, "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." So that goes into like when you'll see brothers out there preaching or even witnessing. It could be, at a social setting, it could be at your job, and at times, you have to, have and use discretion on when you can spread the word. Because when it comes to, religion and even politics, that's two of the things that they say that you shouldn't really discuss specifically at a job. But being that our beliefs is not based off of a religion, but is based off of a bloodline, our ancient Hebraic bloodlines, sometimes we might get the zeal to spread it with other brothers and other sisters, even in our places of employment. But you have to be cautious. But even in the scenario where it's an opportunity, you'll speak the word. But as the scripture says, but when they heard, so when you're preaching, somebody is receptive, they like, oh man, I didn't know we were God's chosen people. But then Satan to come. And that'll be the form of a coworker or just a situation or scenario to try to take the word from the person, which the word would be sown in their hearts. So going back to what I was saying, when brothers out there preaching and a brother or sister is being edified, then Satan to come and try to take the word from the hearts of those who have heard it. So when we're out there, witnessing to our people, it's all about repentance. That's our main message. That's our main goal. Although going into the history of who we are is one of the first steps, because modern Christianity, we also call it plantation Christianity, was used as a way to deceive our people, because the word religion, it means to divide or restrain. So the religions have done nothing but divide our people. Is divided, basically the spirit, because the scriptures tell us that where two or more are gathered, he is in the midst. So with this current scenario that we're here, in America, which is Babylon the Great, and that's a whole nother subject, is used to keep us divided, and is used to what? Try to break our spirit. Is used to keep our heritage and our knowledge, as well as the wisdom, which will lead to understanding, away from us. So this is why there's so much opposition when it comes to the concept of what they call Black Hebrew Israelites. But we're not Black Hebrew Israelites, because the Israelites, according to the Bible, are scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. But because of the misinformation and because the propaganda, they want you to believe that it's some type of subversive Black organization. Now, according to the Bible, the people of the Bible are Black, under that classification, but they're not just Black people now. They're all different shades, as you will read in the book of Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. All right, so let's go into the main scripture that let us know that the so-called Negroes here in the Americas, and that it also can apply to the Latinos and the Native Americans, because they all throughout history have been persecuted and have been oppressed. So how we came into the understanding of who we were and are as a people is written in the Holy Bible. And it's based off of faith. So if you, for some reason, hear this word and it still don't resonate within your spirit, I mean, that it's all based off faith. And we have nothing to do with whether you believe or whether you don't believe. If you believe, then that's beautiful, but we have no control over it. It is the Heavenly Father's will if a person will wake up and get the understanding. Or if they don't get it, then that's on that person. But nonetheless, we want our people to repent, because that's what it's all about. And just like the Heavenly Father don't want any of his people to be lost or destroyed, we don't want our people to be lost or destroyed ourselves. So we're going to go into the book of Deuteronomy. Let's say 28. And we'll actually start at verse 1, because we go into the curses all the time. But we're going to actually start in the blessings. So I'll share the screen, which this is, this is similar to some of the other platforms where you can share the screen. So here we go. So this is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 1. And this is going into the oath of Moses. This is what is known as the oath of Moses. So the Israelites, the ancient Israelites were in captivity, were in Egypt, and was persecuted and being oppressed, were slaves, built up Egypt, built up treasure cities like Pithom and Ramses. And after the Israelites was delivered by the mighty hand of the Heavenly Father, who the world calls God, but the Heavenly Father's name in the ancient Hebrew is Yahweh, which means he exists. So Moses told the Israelites, look, if you follow the Heavenly Father's law, statutes, and commandments, you will be blessed. So these are the blessings. This is a covenant, an agreement that the Israelites is about to partake in. So it reads, and we're going to start at verse 1 in chapter 28. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. So the Israelites, if they were to obey the Heavenly Father's law, statutes, and commandments, the Lord would put the Israelites, the ancient Hebrew Israelites, above all nations. So what does that mean? That means that the Israelites would be a superpower, in so many words. They will rule over all nations, just like here in America. America is now, although, all the other nations are gaining power, America is that superpower. So America's able to exert their authority and their influence on other countries, even other countries that have power. But in the ancient times, this would apply to God's chosen people, the ancient Hebrew Israelites, if they were to obey the Heavenly Father, that he would put them over all nations on the earth. I'll read it again. It says that the Lord thy God, so the Heavenly Father, Yahweh, will put the Israelites, set them on high above all nations of the earth. So that's the first blessing. And the second, blessing is, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So that means that everything that the Israelites would do would be blessed. It would overtake. Just think of the word overtake. The Israelites would be over consumed with blessings. Over consumed with blessings. So one of the indicators that the Israelites would be blessed would be in verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. So everywhere the Israelites would spring up cities, they would be blessed. So if the Israelites had a community, or different areas, within certain regions, there'd be nothing but blessings. So they would be blessed in the city. It says, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. So the field, the land, the crops, just everything pertaining to the land would just flourish. It would be just nothing but blessings. Verse 4, blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body. So that represents the children. The fruit of the body would be the children. The children would be blessed. And the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. So even the substance and the livestock will be blessed. Just, you've heard of people that have ranches, and it's just they have nothing but land, thousands of acres, and they have thousands of heads of cattle. They might have horses. Well, the Israelites would have that. They would have an overabundance with those blessings. Verse 5, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. So the Israelites would have what? Businesses. You know, they would have, you know, they would be able to accumulate things. Basket and store, you know, a basket is used to hold things. So you would be able to store and have things, and it would be a blessing. Nobody would take it from you. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou comest out. So wherever the Israelites would go, they would be blessed. No matter where they went, there would be just nothing but blessings because they would have the anointing of the Heavenly Father upon them, that divine protection and that divine favor. Hold on. Okay. We were at verse 6, so we're at verse 7. It says, "Then the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face." So any nation that rise up against the Israelites, the Lord will cause those enemies to be smitten, meaning they will be destroyed. If any nation rose up against the Israelites, God would give the Israelites that might and that power. It would come in the form of warfare, meaning that the Israelites would fight in battle, or it would be divine intervention. It would be the angels. It would be, you know, natural, what they call natural events, you know, just like how the Lord used the elements of the earth and natural events to go against the Egyptians. He sent insects, you know, locusts and flies and frogs and other things that are not written of in the Bible, because you have what's known as the Apocrypha, which is the other part of the Bible, which goes into when the Egyptians were under those curses and those plagues because they had God's chosen people. The Lord sent strange apparitions, meaning evil spirits, entities, or in so many words, a ghost that was used to torment the Egyptians. They were in darkness, and the scriptures tell us that that was so dark that the people can actually feel the darkness. That's how bad it was. So the Lord will cause those enemies to be smitten. It says, "And they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways." So the enemies will come in one way, but then they would run or scatter seven ways because they'll be running for their lives. Verse 8, "The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse," or storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto." So the Israelites, no matter what they did, whether they had a business, where they had any kind of interactions, or you know, business dealings with their own people, it would be nothing but a blessed situation. There'd be no confusion. There'd be no, you know, mishaps. Everything would just run smoothly. It says, "And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So there'd be nothing but blessings. The Israelites would reside in safety and peace in that land. And there'd be no enemies trying to invade the Israelites. It would just be nothing but blessings based off of what? Based off of the Israelites' obedience, the Israelites being obedient to the Heavenly Father. The Lord said, Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what he told Saul, because Saul was commanded to what? To go after the Amalekites and smite all of the Amalekites. But Saul, he did the opposite and saved the best of what Amalek had and even spared the king of Amalek. And the kingdom was stripped away from Saul and given to David. Verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself. Now, the word holy, it means to be sanctified or separate. So the Israelites would have that favor. Like in modern times, you have what's known as replacement theology, which means that somewhere throughout time, you know, you can go into the history records, you know, basically when the other nations have taken over God's word, they replaced the Israelites with what? The church. That's replacement theology. So now, because of the, you know, misinterpretation of the scriptures when it comes to the Gentiles, they have taken away the natural branch, which is Israel, and they boast against the natural branch by saying God done away with his people and replaced it with the church or the Gentiles. So the Israelites would be set as a holy people, a separate people unto the Lord himself, meaning that the Lord is only dealing with those Israelites. Unto himself, that's his was known as the chosen people. And as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall set that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. So the nations would be afraid of the Israelites because they know that the Israelites' God is with them. So that's the blessings. That's, you know, you go further and further. Plenty is of goods, you know, having a families, you know, blessed families, you know, the lineage, the fruit of the body is talking about children and offspring. There'll be nothing but blessings from that. Verse 12, it goes into thou shalt lend into many nations and thou shalt not borrow. So the Israelites will be in a situation where they will be wealthy and the nations would have to borrow. Just like how you have America that is relatively a wealthy nation, although hyperinflation has pretty much destroyed the economy and all the other things that's happening, that's being orchestrated to collapse the economy and bring in a whole different system. Although that's happening, America is still in the position to loan or even give trillions of dollars, even with the war in Ukraine, given what, billions, if I'm not mistaken. But Ukraine, they don't have it like that where they can give that money right back. They're in the middle of a war. So the Israelites would be in a position of power, the ancient Hebrew Israelites, where if nations needed something, whether it be for famine or just, you know, a nation being poor, the Israelites would what? Lend. They would lend to that country and not be the borrower. What's that old saying? The lender is a servant to the borrower. So that's exactly what's you know, what's happening. Countries are in debt to America, and that's why America can go in and exert their authority, or even if they're not appreciative of the rulership. Okay, so we read the blessing. So let's go into the curses. The Israelites, heard the oath of Moses, and Moses said, "Look, if you do this, you're gonna be blessed. This is what's gonna happen. You're gonna be good. The nations are gonna fear you. All you gotta do is keep the laws, the Heavenly Father's laws, statutes, and commandments." So let's go to. Let's see. Verse 15. So this is Moses saying, look, if you don't follow the Heavenly Father's laws and law statutes and commandments, this is what's going to happen to you. So we'll start at verse 15. Again, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it reads, but it shall come to pass. So when it says, when it shall come to pass, that's talking about a prophecy. This will happen. But it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So the Lord said, look, if you don't follow my law, statutes, and commandments, these curses are going to come upon you and overtake you. They're going to overshadow you. Everything that you do is going to be involved with the curses hovering over you. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. So wherever the Israelites will go, they will be cursed in their cities. The cities will have what? Destruction. They would have death. They would have poverty. They will have a breakdown in the family structure. They wouldn't own anything. Who does that sound like? Does that sound like the so-called Negroes here in America? Just even some of you out there that don't agree with biblical prophecy, just with you observing, you could say that a lot of the so-called Negro communities are in chaos. Why is that? A lot of people say, oh, because these people, they can't get right. A lot of people out there refer to black people as animals, they're not smart enough. Even though the white supremacists will use the word subhuman, but it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with curses. The Israelites will be cursed because they were disobedient. So this is why you see the drugs and the guns, the gangs, just dysfunctional behavior. All of that is based off the curses. And the Lord, he's punishing his people, but it's for a dispensation of time. And who corrected that? Christ, Yahweh. He came to save those that were lost. Those are the lost sheep. And we'll get into that. So the Israelites will be cursing the city. So their cities will be cursed, even if they were built up. What happened during Reconstruction? The Israelites built towns after slavery, and the KKK and all the other terrorist organizations, that were, basically the secret societies, because the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, was a secret society, but also the other white groups that were, shadowy groups, or even if they weren't shadowy groups, the mob mentality, they went in and destroyed those black towns. You had black men that were running for office and they were gaining power in politics. A lot of the lynchings that you see, those postcards, a lot of those men or even the women that were lynched, they were store owners. Those were people who had, wealth or, they had money, they had land, they had, property, they had livestock. They had substance. So as we read in the scriptures, that the Israelites will be blessed, their substance, their land. The other nations will be afraid, but the Israelites were disobedient. So the Lord put curses on God's chosen people. So there will be a curse in the city and then cursed in the fields. What fields were we talking about? The cotton fields. The Israelites out there picking cotton, sugar cane for 16 hours in a blazing heat. Certain Israelites died from heat exhaustion or heat strokes. You had young children out there picking cotton, bags as large as them, but they were picking cotton with their parents. You had children that were taken away from their mothers while the mothers were in the fields picking cotton. And the slave masters took the babies and fed them to alligators to use them for alligator bait. That happened in Florida. You had what they call the alligator babies. So this would be the curse of the fruit of thy body. Because here it is, you have women that were nursing and their children was taken away while they were out in the field slaving. And their very babies were fed to alligators so the slave masters could use the babies for bait, alligator bait. And then kill the alligators and use the alligator's hide for bags, for shoes, for belts, and so forth. Cursed shalt be thy basket and thy store, so the Israelites wouldn't have substance. You hear of, Black Wall Street. That's a prime example. You had Israelites that had towns. And what happened? There was an allegation that a man raped a white woman. And that was, that was what led to what? The massacre. You had a lot of race riots. You had a lot of, towns, black towns throughout, America. But it was all based off of lies. It was all based off of rumors or slander that led to a lot of those massacres. They call them riots, but they were massacres because black folks were killed. You have so many black towns, even certain towns was what? Was flooded. This is why you have the curses that's in Lake Lanier, all those people dying because that land is cursed. Blood defiles a land. So, the most famous town was Black Wall Street. That town or that, was a section of what they call Greenwood in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That land was very, or the people there in the land in their town was very prosperous. They had businesses. They had, like salons, hair salons, barbershops. They had lawyers, attorneys. They had a movie theater. They even had their own airport, strip, and they were in the process of doing business with other nations outside of America. And then that allegation was what sparked off that massacre. And even today, the survivors, they're in their hundreds. They're over 100 years old and they still can't get justice. They still can't get restitution because the Lord told us that our enemies would be over us. We would be oppressed and spoiled evermore when you go further in the curses in the book of Deuteronomy. So it's going to take the Messiah, who the world ignorantly calls Jesus Christ, to give God's people that restoration, the what they call reparations. It's not gonna come from a paycheck, because what happened to God's people is beyond repair. The transatlantic slave trade and all the terror and the oppression and the persecution, even today, 2024, the human trafficking, you know, the organ harvesting, all of these children and women coming up missing. A very well orchestrated agenda to destroy God's people. And they're making merchandise off God's people. So it says, I'll read that again. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. I wanted to go back over the black businesses. So a lot of black businesses, they can't survive. You know, one, a lot of businesses can't get loans, whereas a lot of foreigners can come over here and get loans. And they can get, tax write-offs. They don't have to pay taxes. But you have black businesses that can't get nothing. They can't even get, they can have even $10,000, $20,000 in the bank and still can't get a loan because this system is set up through benign neglect. Even you had J. Edgar Hoover, the director of the FBI, that targeted black progress. And I hate using the word black because we're not black people. That is a byword. We're actually Hebrew Israelites from the tribe of Judah. And you have the Israelites that are scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, and they look like all the nations, but the main tribe, which is from the tribe of Judah, which is the so-called Negroes here in America, are the main ones that's being targeted. So you had J. Edgar Hoover that said that he would stop the rise of a black messiah because with Judah being the head tribe, these people know that once the Israelites repent and return to the Heavenly Father, then the blessings, then that divine favor come. This is why there's so much confusion and so much misinformation and so many things that is orchestrated and is in the targeting of God's people. This is why they destroyed all of our leaders, like Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, all these black leaders. You know, any kind of progress is what stifled. You had the Black Panthers that had the free lunch programs, the free health clinics. All of that was sabotaged by the FBI. So any kind of progress, these agencies are set in place to basically destabilize it. Because even according to what they call national security, national security is based off of keeping so-called minorities at the lowest part of society. Never can rise above social economics, or anything socially or economically is always meant to keep us suppressed. This is why the black wealth is what about the same as it was after slavery. And that's all by design. This is why you don't have the black businesses. This is why you have other nationalities that can come over here and they can flourish. They can have Chinatowns. They can have little Italies. They can have little Russia, little Vietnam, and all these other subcultures here in America. And you have what? The hood. That's totally destroyed and is overtaken by street gangs and corruption and just destitute and crime and theft, drugs, and just a deplorable situation based off the curses. So let's go a little bit more further into the curses, and then I want to share some information with you. in regards to some of the history and the proof of the Israelites here in the America, or the Israelites or in the Americas. And we're going to read in this book, chapter and verse, the main chapter, or Salakia, which means sorry, the main verse that lets us know that God's people are over here in the Americas. So where it says, let's go to verse 31, says, thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, thou shalt not eat thereof. So where it's talking about the ox, that's talking about the buffalo. The Native Americans are from the tribe of Gad. They're also part of the 12 tribes of Israel. These are the lost sheep. So when it says, thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, that's talking about how when the Calvary and even the settlers that were going out west, when they were in those trains, they would just take their rifles, their Winchester rifles, and they would aim and shoot those buffalo dead. And you would have hundreds, if not thousands, of carcasses out in the heat, and they would rot. So that meat from the buffalo would be used for, or the buffalo itself, after it was slaughtered, the Native Americans used not only the meat for food, but they used the hide, for shelter. They used the bones for, arrows, and they used every part of the buffalo. Nothing went to waste. Even the fat of it, they used it for oil. They used every aspect, but being that those buffalo were shot, and just for sport, and to what? To basically take the food supply from Gad, from the North American Indians, the ox was slain before thine eyes, because the tribes of the bands of Gad would just see just a whole prairie full of dead buffalo that they couldn't use, because it was rotting in the sun with maggots and flies all over it. So it was unedible. It says, and now, Salakia, hold on. It says, thine ass shall be violently taken away before thy face, which is going into what? The horses. You had the different horses, like I'm trying to think of the I guess the that's let me look that up, because I you have the colts. That's one of the horses, that Gad used, the colts, and the I don't know if they had stallions or whatever like that, but the different horse breeds that was taken away from Gad. You had horse wranglers that would just take thousands of horses, because at one point horses, they ran free. It was just like any other, breed of or herd of animals, like sheep or cattle. So they started rounding up those horses and start taking them from Gad, as well as, donkeys, because that's what an ass is. It says, and shalt not be restored to thee. So those horse, all the different horses, they were stolen from Gad, and they weren't given back. Matter of fact, if you want to buy a horse, you're going to pay thousands of dollars. It says, thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. So all the substance, and that goes into the so-called Negroes too. The thieves, horse thieves, that was, that would go in and raid the Negro towns and burn it down, and they would take the horses, or they literally run black folks off the land. And just assume everything, just take everything, whatever is in their houses, the fancy china ware, you know, the sterling silver spoons, forks, and knives, land deeds, even money, all of that was for the taking. Just like the movie Rosewood, that's a prime example. When the men of that town, the white men, were jealous of I forgot the name of the character, but it was I can't think of the Don Cheadle, the actor Don Cheadle, who was from Kansas City. That's where I'm from. In that movie, the white characters in the movie was angry and jealous that Don Cheadle's character had a piano, because in the movie he was a piano instructor. So one of the men was like, how do he have a piano and he didn't have one? Him being a white man. So that's the jealousy and the envy. And a lot of that was fueled to destroy those towns. A very hostile environment that the Israelites, the true chosen Israelites, had to and having to endure. And just the gaslighting and all the things that come with being oppressed. All right, I got maybe a little bit over 10 minutes. That went by real quick, a whole hour. So let's get to the main, or some of the main scriptures that let us know that God's people are over here. So the Israelites would be under the curses, specifically here in America and in other parts of the world. So we'll read verse 48. It says, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send thee against thee. So the Lord would send these nations against the Israelites for being disobedient. These are the curses. It says, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. So the Israelites, whether they were hungry or thirsty or naked, they would have to go to their enemies in want of all things. So if the Israelites want clothing, this is why God's people have to go to stores and they have to buy clothing. One of all things, whether clothing, whether if you're thirsty, you gotta get water, whether you buy in bottled water or you gotta go to the city to get your water turned on, the water companies. You have to go to your enemies for everything. Food, clothing. What else it says? And in hunger and in thirst and nakedness. So if you're hungry, if you or Salaki, I wanted to read that again. So if you're hungry, you got to go to the grocery store. Even if you have land, you still got to go buy things. Like if you're raising livestock, you still got to go to your enemies to buy things. You got to buy livestock. You got to go to the grocery store. In hunger and in thirst and nakedness, if you want clothing, you got to go to your enemies. That's what the scripture says. It says, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies. So the enemies will be ruling over you, will be serving the enemies, working for the enemies, serving, servitude, slavery. Even after slavery, you had a lot of the women that worked as maids. All the way up to the 70s, worked as maids in some of the households. And we're all slaves now, no matter what nationality your nationality, we're all slaves in this society. Now the current situation is that they want every This beast system on everybody in slavery. You see how putting up with one type of servitude and allowing, especially God's people to remain in that situation, and people sat back idly and laughed and mocked and didn't have a problem with it. Now that same oppressive system is going after the very people that complain about God's people when they complain about reparations and wanting fair treatment and wanting civil and human rights. Now this beast system don't care who you are. Now a lot of the so-called white people and Asian people and Arab people are now complaining about the very rights that we were denied. And matter of fact, the beast system that's set in place is going to be worse than any form of slavery. I mean, on record, the chattel slavery is the worst in history. But the beast system, the Bible tells us that it'd be like no other time in history. So it's going to, everything that's happened in history, it will be nothing compared to what this current system, this wicked, demonic beast system that's in place is going to oppress upon the people. It says, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. And the yoke of iron is the slave chains. You can Google slave chains and you'll see that yoke of iron or on the feet of the slaves. That's history. They put yokes of iron on our necks. That's history. And the Bible tells us that the Israelites will go through that. It says, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth, from one hemisphere to the other hemisphere. So you have a nation. It says, as swift as the eagle flieth a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. So what image do America use? An eagle, the bald eagle. I'll read that again. As swift as the eagle flieth, an eagle is stealthy. It flies the highest, has real, is, you know, it can see, you know what I'm saying? It has real good vision. Like right now in the surveillance state, the European powers use that stealthy, what you call a predatory type of system. Although it's technology, it's in comparison to the eagle, who is a crafty hunter. And the Israelites wouldn't know the language. That's why it says a tongue whose a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. It says a nation of fierce countenance which shall not regard the person of the old nor show favor to the young. That's why they would have slaves, young and old, out there picking cotton. Slaves would be lynched, they would be beaten, they would be tortured, the men would be buck broken, they would be raped, it would be no difference in the eyes of the slave master, who did show no regard, whether you were young or old. There was just nothing but brutality. So let's go to the main one. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 68. It says, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way whereof I speak unto thee. So the Lord will bring the Israelites again in ships. What are the ships? The slave ships. One of the ships was called Jesus of Lubbock, also known as the good ship Jesus. So the Israelites would be brought into Egypt again with ships. Egypt represents bondage. That's in the book of Exodus. The Lord would bring the Israelites into Egypt again with ships, slave ships. It says, by the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And so after the dispensation of time, the Israelites, after this slavery, there'll be no more slavery afterwards. This is the last slavery. This is the seventh captivity. The word seven, or the number seven, means completion. No more slavery after this. After repentance and returning to the Lord, there's nothing but salvation, for those that repent and of the elect, and destruction to those that don't repent. It says, And there ye shall be sold into your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. So the Israelites would go into slavery by slave ships. Nobody would save you. You know, that goes for the leaders. It says, no man shall buy you, which means to redeem. So the Israelites would go into captivity, slave ships. This would be the last captivity. You'll be sold as a slave man or slave woman, and no man will buy you or redeem you out of this situation. Malcolm X tried, Martin Luther King tried. What happened? The government killed them. So the only way out of this situation is through repentance, because the Messiah who will return will deliver God's people. So this will be what's known as the second Exodus out of spiritual Egypt. How do we know it's Egypt? What's on the back of your dollar bill? An Egyptian pyramid. Okay. So let's go. Hold on, I want to share my screen again. Well, that I was looking for the hold on. I wanted to get I only got a couple of minutes. I wanted to show you the slave pew. Hold on. Stop. Okay, here we go. Running out of time. And you can go to Second Esdras, and it'll show you the okay, here we go. Let's share this right quick. So right here, it's showing you a slave pew in the balcony at the First African Baptist Church. Now the church was constructed in 1859. And as you see, this is a writing, but it's known as cursive Hebrew. So the description is the original balcony pews at First African Baptist Church were built for and by slaves when the building was constructed in 1859. So it was built by the slaves and it was for the slaves. The writing on the ends of each pew was written in the African dialect known as cursive Hebrew. So how is these so-called Africans writing in cursive Hebrew? Because we're not African. We were in Africa, but you got to go into the time where the Israelites were exiled out of Israel in 70 AD. So the Israelites fled and went into the interior coast of Africa, West Africa, or the Ivory Coast. And after, during the time of the transatlantic slave trade, which started after 1492, because you had Israelites that were in parts of Europe, like Spain. And that's when the first slaves started arriving over here to the Americas, and the Western Hemisphere. So you had these slaves that were brought over here, mainly around 1619. And after, a certain part of time, during that time period, the slaves start building things. So this church was built, and it was written in cursive Hebrew because the people actually speak Hebrew. The Negroes were speaking Hebrew and writing in Hebrew. So that's pretty much it. I hope this was edifying to you brothers and sisters out there. I say shalom, peace and blessings. And as always, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is nigh. Shalom, which means peace.